You're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari, where NFL legends live on. Back to you, boys.
All right, now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Jets and Chiefs tackle Jeff Criswell. Let me remind you about Jeff's background. He's from Searsboro, Iowa, which is a small town, population 164 in the central part of the state. He played his college ball at Graceland University, which is an NAIA school in Iowa. He was a four-year starter there and an All-American. In 2000, he was inducted into the Graceland Sports Hall of Fame. Jeff was an undrafted free agent signed by the Colts in 1987, and he played in the league from 87 to 1998 for the Colts, Jets, and Chiefs. And we're excited that he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Jeff, Chris and Bob here. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, guys. How are you tonight?
Ah, fantastic. Jeff, how have you been, my friend?
Man, I'm doing really good. I'm doing well. I actually have no complaints as of now. I've gone through all my CTE testing, and what was I talking about? Oh, anyway. I'm actually doing well.
That's good news. So, Jeff, want to get your thoughts. Here we are. It's, week two of the preseason. Teams are going to be breaking camp soon and heading back to their practice facilities or where they normally practice during the season. Curious to get what you remember. What do you remember about the first time you went to camp with the Colts?
You know what? I'm going to say my first time with camp was going to be with the Jets because I came in the strike in 87, as you remember. So I didn't get to any camp. I think they had 10 days of practice prior to our first game in 87. But my first camp, true camp, was in 88 with the Jets. And back in those days, they could bring in as many guys as they wanted to. Free agency was not in play at that point in my career. And I remember they had, I was a little bit lucky in the fact that I'd already played with the Colts. So when they brought me in, they brought me into the veterans camp first in April. And so I got a little bit of a head start on all the free agents and rookies and first round and second, third, fourth round draft picks that they brought in that year. They brought in a ton of guys. I think we were 10 deep at one point with guards and tackles, and you really didn't get very many reps back in those days. But again, I was fortunate enough to have had a little bit of a head start, and I was competing against at guard at that point with a first-round pick from previous years, Mike Haight, who was a first-round pick in the University of Iowa, and did well. But I remember Joe Walton was the head coach, and it was pretty much old-school football. He was an old-school football coach. The rookies came in, and they had three-day practices, if I remember right, two hitting practices and a walkthrough, and guys wouldn't even take their pads off between sessions because there was no time. And I remember guys just kind of laying around with their shoulder pads off waiting for the next practice. And it was really grueling. We used to practice at that point at Hofstra University, and it was quite a walk from where we slept at to where we practiced. And it was out hot in Long Island in August. And a couple times, guys would just not show up to practice. Usually it was a receiver or a defensive back. And we would hear tell that they were found in their room, all cramped up. They couldn't move. They'd been that way for a little while. It was very dangerous, actually. And, of course, they would give them IVs and stuff and get them back out on the field. But it was a grueling time.
So to that end, Jeff, and you talk about, it being old school and that sort of thing. I mean, was there anything crazy when you look back on it from a health standpoint? Was there things, we've heard stories about, coaches withholding water if the offense, didn't beat the defense or vice versa and things of that nature where, when you really sit back and think about it going, well, no wonder guys were cramping up and stuff like that. If you're not giving, not proper hydration isn't there and all those sorts of things. Were there things when you look back on it, you sort of scratch your head and go, boy, that was dumb.
You know what? We heard stories around the league, like I remember, not so much with the Jets and the Chiefs. And as my career, went on, many changes were made through the CBA and the players union. And when free agency came around in 1990, I believe, and the tables were turned. The players then at that point had leverage. But I remember, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when I believe Ray Perkins was their head coach. And our offensive line coach's name was Larry Bechtel, who came up from the Jets, from there. And he said that that was what that guy did to those guys was almost inhumane. Three-hour practices a day, full go, full pad, hit, everybody was just hitting all the time. And again, back in the early days, if you got hurt on the practice field, they could cut you and you were gone. They may or may not have paid you something to leave, but there wasn't, it isn't like it is now, obviously. So I wouldn't say that I remember anything that our coaches did that was out of line, but it did change. You know, they used to be able to cuss you out, call you names and, you know, kind of hurt your feelings a little bit. But, that really changed once free agency came into play. So it's not like that anymore.
And Jeff, thinking about, you know, the preseason games, you know, as a fan right now, right? And we got a couple of games going on right now as we speak, but as a fan, I sort of collectively hold my breath because I'm afraid one of the starters, you know, I'm a big Steelers fan, you know, could one of the starters get hurt sort of out there in a meaningless preseason game? As you became a veteran, was playing in a preseason game good because you wanted to get out there and get some hits and kind of go through it in sort of game-like, you know, atmosphere and live hitting and that sort of thing? Or did you hate being out there because, you know, one of the big guys falls and rolls up on the back of your leg or hits you on the side of the knee and one injury and you could be gone? And to your point, you can get cut and that's it.
Yeah, you know, the preseason, depending on if you were a starter, if you were a second-tier guy, maybe you're on special teams more than if you're playing with the regular starters. And so it kind of depended on where you were. You wanted to play a lot if you were a second-tier guy, and you wanted to be on special teams so that you really got to showcase all of your skills at different positions. But for a starting player, pretty much it was kind of going through the motions. I mean, our first game, I think the starters usually only played about 10 plays. It was hardly worth even getting warmed up for. And you mentioned, worried about getting hurt. I remember we had a preseason game against the Philadelphia Eagles, they had brought on Refrigerator Perry, William Perry, and he was weighing about 400 pounds at that time. And I can remember, like, the second or third play of the game, was running play, and I fell down. He kind of fell into me, and he landed on my leg. And it was like 400 pounds of dead weight on my ankle and on my foot. And I got to tell you, for the rest of my career, I had a foot problem because of that. So that can happen. And, of course, we've all seen, you know, good players, starting players go down in preseason and you just cringe when you see that. And, I can remember in 1989, we were again scrimmage or, preseasoning, the Philadelphia Eagles, I think in Raleigh, North Carolina. I don't know how we got there, but that was where they had it. And, Kenny O'Brien was our starting quarterback. He was already out. He wasn't even playing. So they were playing Pat Ryan. And I remember I was still a young guy, and Clyde, I was going against Clyde, if you remember that. He was a real tall, long-armed, good player, played for a long time, pro bowler. But he came around the corner, and he got scrambling and fell into Pat Ryan's leg, and it put him out of the season for the whole year, tore his ACL. And, of course, I felt terrible about it, and nothing I could do. Now we were down to our third-string quarterback going into the starting season. And that's how we started our season that year in 89.
Wow.
Yep.
Bob, questions for Jeff?
Great to speak with you again, Jeff. And when you came to New York, that was the, again, you mentioned Joe Walton, and that was the Rich Kotite offensive scheme. And we know he didn't have too much success as a head coach, but as a coordinator, give us your memories of him, Jeff. Was his system tough to master? And what was your relationship like with Kotite?
You know, I had an okay relationship with Richie. Of course, his involvement was with usually when the offensive line was in the group, it was with the team. You're right, though. We had our Jets Legends weekend last weekend, and we had our golf tournament, and about 60 some guys came back, and we were talking about some of the guys that were playing in that era. And we talked about Richie, and one was a quarterback we had at the time. And he said, yeah, it was almost impossible to memorize, the play call. And Kenny O'Brien, I remember saying one time in the huddle, he said that he had to say 17 things, zip, right, flip, Z20, the play. The whole thing was like 17 words that he had to say in the course of, trying to get the play off. And it was just a nightmare for receivers, especially new guys to the team, to remember, these plays and what they were doing. And there was a lot of confusion. And, Richie had success, and they had success prior to me being there. We weren't as successful after, after we got there. And of course, then he went on to Philadelphia, and he came back in 95, I believe it was, and they went 1-15. So the system couldn't have been that great.
Jeff, I want to ask you about one of your old teammates, because those teams back there, I remember the Jet teams well. I used to go to watch them in the Meadowlands a lot, and had some good offensive linemen. And one of my favorite guys was Jim Sweeney. He was a Pittsburgh guy, and like yourself, didn't miss many games at all. Had an incredible stretch for like a 10-year stretch where he didn't miss a game, but never made a Pro Bowl, didn't get the ink that I thought he deserved. But tell us your memories of Jim Sweeney.
Yeah, well, Jim is a great guy, and he was one of the toughest guys, I've ever played with. And you're right, he was very dependable. He was excellent. In my opinion, he could have made the Pro Bowl any of those years that I was played with him. And he was just so durable, and he was intelligent, obviously. Of course, then he went on, I think the same year that I left, in free agency in 95, he went to, the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is where he's from. And, of course, his idol was, Mike Webster. And, he got to play against, Mike several times, of course. And, there was a lot of reunion there. But, Jim was just a great solid player. And you're right about the offensive line Jets. We didn't get any credit all those years. And, we had a lot of good offensive linemen that played and, a lot of talent. I think it was in 92. The first year, it was 92 or 93, that Boomer Esiason, the first year that he came to the Jets, we had a great year that year. I mean, considering what we'd done in the past, I think we went 8-7-1 and we beat Miami Dolphins in the playoffs, to make playoff spot, to play the Houston Oilers, which we got beat. And, I remember that year we actually had the least amount of sacks in the league that year. And it was, myself at left tackle, Dave Cadigan at right, left guard, Jim Sweeney, center, Dwayne White, and Siapala Malamala at right tackle. And that was our offensive line, and we were pretty good. We were solid. Of course, we were healthy the whole year. And Dwayne White, I thought he had opportunities to be in the Pro Bowl. But the fact of it is, when you're on teams that are struggling or losing teams that have losing records all those years, it's hard to fight off your back, even from the beginning of the season. Most of the time, we didn't have any national games that we got to play in, so we didn't have any national exposure, and really our record didn't justify, any of us really getting in. I think I made the All-Joe team one year, which I don't even think they have that anymore. I played, I played 12 years, and I only missed a few games out of that 12 years, none of us ever made it to the Pro Bowl or any of those honors.
Jeff, just a couple more before we let you go. And I want to get your thoughts on the Jets, for this upcoming season. When you look at their quarterback situation, they've got Josh McCown, Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Darnold all competing for the starting job. What do you think? Who do you think is their starter week one?
You know what? I'm still stuck on McCown. I know everybody's hyped on Darnold. I'm watching him play as we speak, actually. And Darnold got the start tonight. And I think he's going to be a great player. I got to watch him play several times when he's with USC, And I really think he is he's the real deal. I think he has to have a good supporting cast. I think the offensive line struggled a little bit last year with the Jets, and I hopefully they've shored that up a little bit. Darnold's got a lot to learn, and I'm really impressed with Bridgewater. I think it's going to come from McCown to start the season, but again, I'm guessing like everybody else. And I think our as far as the Jets overall, I think they've shored up their secondary. The defense, I thought the defense played pretty well last year, and they definitely won some games that they should have, and then maybe a couple they shouldn't have. They were a little bit surprising to me, and I think the rest of the country as well. So, all in all, I think that the Jets offensively are going to be better than they were last year, and that puts them in a pretty good position to possibly make the playoffs. I don't know if they could beat the Patriots yet, but we don't know. There may be a shocker, but I don't think Darnold's going to be the guy at the beginning of the year.
So one of the things that Bob and I were talking about at the top of the show that I wanted to get your thoughts on is when Sam Darnold takes over, when you've got a young quarterback behind you as an offensive lineman, you know this guy is getting his first starts in the league. Does that put more pressure on the offensive line because you know the game hasn't slowed down for him yet? It's going to take him a little bit longer back there. You're going to have to hold your block probably longer than you normally would have. Does the offensive line feel that added pressure when you got a young guy at quarterback?
You know, I don't think you feel it until you're actually a game or two into the season. And, you know, for instance, we had several quarterbacks while I was with the Jets. And I remember Jeff Blake, he had his shot. Brownie Nagel, if you remember that name. He had his shot, and those guys did struggle, and it did put more pressure on us. And but it wasn't just them; the team struggled. I mean, we struggled. It seemed like every time we got the ball, it was a penalty, and we were starting from the 5-yard line on every kickoff. It was Murphy's Law at times, and so I can't say that it was just quarterback problems that we had. But offensively, on the offensive line, because we had a pretty good group and a group of guys that have played together a long time, you know, we just did our job. We didn't worry about it. You can't think about it too much because at the end of the day, you've got to do your job and you've got to do it well to even have a chance. And, you know, every week in and week out, I always had, you know, one of the toughest guys to play against. So I worried about myself, you know, and I want to be a contributing factor to the success and not be a part of the problem, especially for a young guy back there. You know, they definitely had their issues at times. And, you know, when we brought an experienced quarterback in, like Boomer, when he finally came in and played, we had success. And, so they'll have to go through their growing pains. And, again, I think the offensive line is going to be okay this year and that'll make it easier for the quarterback situation.
Jeff, before we let you go, remind our listeners, A, what you're doing now, and B, how they can follow you on social media.
Well, first of all, I pretty much friend anybody if they show they're a fan. Just my name, just put that in. I'm a realtor here in southern Fairfield County in Connecticut, and I'm also a mortgage loan originator with a company out of Stamford. So I do loans and sell houses and look for real estate development deals all over the country. So if you got any good deals, definitely look me up and see if we can't get them financed.
Well, Jeff, we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. Always enjoy getting to spend some time with you. We hope you'll come back and do it again sometime real soon.
Okay, guys. Thanks. Have a great evening.
You too, Jeff.
All right. You too, Jeff. All the best to you and your family. That is former Jets and Chiefs offensive tackle Jeff Criswell. And Bob? It's when he talks about old school training camp and what all of that was like. Well, hey, kudos to Jeff for it seemed like none of that was a big issue for him, and he, you know, trudged through all of those sorts of things. But boy, I can just imagine some of the stories as he was talking about Larry Bechtel and coming over from the Bucks and 3-a-days and 3-hour 3-a-days and pads on the whole time. But boy, that just had to be brutal for those guys.
Yeah, they did a lot more hitting back in those days, Chris. I was able to go out to Hofstra once for the training camp, and it can get steamy there like any other place. But Jeff was a lunch pail kind of guy, and that's why I brought up Sweeney. Those guys were incredibly underrated and had some great years in New York.
Yeah, to Jeff's, also to Jeff's credit, to think how well they did to lead the league in fewest sacks allowed, yet you don't have a Pro Bowler along the line of scrimmage. See, that's a head scratcher. How can that possibly be? How can we do that well, but none of us gets recognized? That's a shame. And certainly deserved a lot more credit than obviously they got. All right, we've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line. We'll get to Tony on the other side of this quick station break.